When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, today on the Tuesday episode, we get into the heights of it all. We watch
into the thick of it.
In the heights?
Into the thick of it. You don't know that one from TikTok?
Yeah, I sure into do. Do you know where it's from?
Barney and Jungle Bop. Bitty Bop.
It's from Jungle Bop. It's from the hit TV show Jungle Bop.
Jungle Bop.
We also listen to some voicemails, and Meatball is getting sick.
Yeah, I'm getting sick and I'm in Houston just dying. So listen up. It's a fun episode. We come for each other more than usual. And by each other, I mean at night.
I think it's from that stick straight crawfish you ate the other night. You know, they're supposed to have a little curl in their tail.
They all had curls, honey. I didn't eat no bad crawfish. Mama, I paid money. All right,
baby.
I gotta go.
I like that people from New Orleans say, baby.
Baby. Baby, baby.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us. Sloppy Seconds.
Oh, Diva. Our number is 213-536-9180. Our email is sloppysecondspot@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Hi, you sloppy, you stupid little fucks, you nasty little fucks, you dirty little fucks, you stupid little Fox. Welcome to Big Dipper, Sloppy and Meatball with Big Boy. Wait, Sloppy Seconds with Big Dipper and Meatball.
It's as
listen,
if
I,
you know how when you get a salad and you put your dressing on it, it's in a to-go container, and then you put the to-go container, the lid back on the salad, and then you give it that really good shake.
Yes.
It's as if you take all the words in our intro and you give them a really good shake.
Well, I have some other news.
What?
I think I may be sick.
Oh, what kind of sick?
I don't know. It's just up in my face and in my nose. It's like a sinus infection, possibly.
Oh.
But I got it like the day before Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sloppy Seconds with Big Dipper and Meatball. I'm Meatball and that's Big Dipper. So my voice is all messed up. And I don't know if it's like a real sickness or if it's just like the change in weather because I'm in Texas now.
Hmm.
But I'm terrified that I'm going to go back to LA and then have to start working because everything's open again and not be able to start working.
Do you, because this was the thing that you and I talked about a little bit in the past, is that I sort of had a fear of like, oh, if I go out into the world again, it like my immune system will be fucked.
I think I'm not sure if it's that or because I started feeling a little sick right before I left. And then all of a sudden when I got here, I was like, I can't sleep. There's so much pressure and like drainage in my face. This is terrible.
So, yeah.
No, I think my immune system's fucked. Also, hi, everybody. I'm talking to you from Texas. Texas is open. I went to the grocery store the other day. No mask. I felt so uncomfortable. I took my mask off. I was like, I look like a nerd.
It's probably why you got sick.
No, I was already sick. I went to the store for medicine for my illness. But yeah, Texas
well,
is
if
fully
you were to
open.
Ask Monet,
I'm going to a restaurant
if
tonight.
You were to ask Monet, she would say, oh, you never knew a sick like this. No, you never knew a sick like this. She said, now, I'm going to sing. I'm going to give you an Aaliyah reference.
And she's serving. Now, answer me this.
Riddle me that.
Is the man in that video
Trevor?
Trevor.
He's a dancer.
Mm-hmm. He looked very familiar.
Who did you think he was?
I thought he was in one angle in the preview, he looked like Jeffrey Boyer Chapman.
It is not Jeffrey Boyer Chapman. He is a tall man. They look similar in the realm of men in their facial
and that they have
structure.
curly hair on top and it's short on the side.
Yes, but it is not Jeffrey Boyer Chapman. It is a dancer named Trevor. He did some photos with Willem for Double Scorpio, and he also
has an OnlyFans.
Maybe, but I know he danced or has in the past danced. He's in the hair, nails, hair, hips, heels video for with Todrick.
Mm.
He's around. He pops up from time to time in some things, but. Willem in Alaska mentioned this because Monet's video is also the rainbow spotlight on Hot Goss on Friday, this past Friday. But they're like, oh, we like Trevor because he makes us feel petite. That's like, you know, Boy Radio. I did that song like this with Boy Radio. Boy Radio also performed with Alaska in the Britney show. And
oh, I love Boy Radio.
Boy Radio is like, conservatively, I'll say like 6'4", but I feel like he's 6'7". Like, that man is tall. And yeah, so the divas love to perform with him because he can dance and he dwarfs them. What are you snacking on over there? Vitamin C juice?
I'm just doing ice because my throat is so dry.
Oh, you're like really sick.
Yes, I'm like in
pain.
Why
are you going out to a restaurant?
Well, we probably. What the truth is?
Why is it so spicy?
Why is it spicy?
Okay, but
listen, last week people came for you all week on the Twitter because you don't know what raw foods are. And we got a lot of messages about it.
It is 2021 and it is very easy for a man in his 30s to not know things about the world. I guess I'm dumb and stupid. They call me dumb. They call me stupid.
Well, here's just a little thing that we got about, because I think we had spoken, we both were incorrect about what ground, why meat is the way that it is, or like
people
why we cook
it. People do eat raw ground beef, though.
Yes, all the time.
Is this the one that I'm supposed to play that says raw food?
No. But we'll play that right after this. This is an email. From someone who is an enterics. Epidemiologist, which is just gastrointestinal diseases. And they said most of the diseases that I study are detected by stool samples. The reason why there are warnings about eating raw meat is all about bacteria, not about when the meat was butchered. Cattle and other warm-blooded vertebrate naturally have these harmful food poisoning or toxin-producing bacteria in their gut. Ground meat is processed in a way that mixes all the parts together, so it's recommended to eat it done. Steaks and other meat cuts have less chance of being exposed to these bacteria because of how they are processed. Mm. Hope this helps.
Call so that Matthew kind of Camp. Makes sense with Call steak. Matthew Camp.
As an epidemiologist, what about that booty mucus?
No, don't get into all that. I mean, yeah, people have, what is it called? Steak tartare, where it is...
Steak tartare, but yeah.
Rawr, so I guess that makes sense in the middle.
But also, like, I know, because I watched a thing, and they, like, test meats. Like, they take samples of every cow and, like, test a certain area of the meat to see if it has any worms or, like, bacteria in it.
Right.
Before they grind it up.
Worms. I mean, this should be a segment akin to Candy Muse News, but something I saw on TikTok.
About to say pouring Coke on a piece of meat and the worms come out, that's not real.
I'm not. What I'm going to say is the people who go like, I've heard that if you eat papaya seeds, it reveals whether or not you have a parasite living in your body.
And it kicks it out.
They eat the papaya seeds, but then you can't see anything because they don't show it. And then they just go like, it's been one day. And let me tell you, what was in the bowl was crazy. And you're like,
I want to see what was in the bowl. I'm disgusting.
Why do we always talk about poop? And I'll tell you, I was just talking to Will, who manages all the post-production for all the mom shows. And I asked him how Very that went. And he said at the end of it, Delta said, thank you for listening to Very Scat, because they talk about shit on their show. Constantly. I feel like there is not a podcast in the world that doesn't eventually devolve to shit talk.
I mean, ours has been poopy for a while. We really managed to get away from the poop talk, but then when we started talking about anal mucus, it really brought it back in to the fold.
Well, I would love to bring up a new topic, which you sent me a tweet that I would like to read out loud. This tweet is penned by one Trisha Paytas. It says,
our Lord and Savior.
Saw In the Heights last night and so worth seeing in theaters. It was so fun to watch something with an audience like that. Everyone feeling the music together. So good. 10 out of 10. Recommend.
In the Heights. Well, so we watched In the Heights.
We both watched In the Heights last night, not in the theaters.
Not in the theaters. I watched it at home on my sofa, or in my parents' sofa. I fell asleep halfway through it.
Do you think that's because you're sick? You thought it was boring.
I thought it was kind of boring. I love a big musical dance thing, but I just... Something about the Lin-Manuel Miranda, like, rap premise of a show, it's too much. I think I prefer a show like Wicked where they have dialogue and then they sing, not where like it's more of an opera where everything is like sung.
There was, well, for the movie version, there was a lot of talking that wasn't them singing.
Still, but it was like them just reiterating like what they were about to sing or do.
Did you like it? Here,
it's 2.5 hours long, and it's a lot of and this is my best Auntie Chan impersonation of Lin-Manuel Miranda, but it's like
and I push a little button in the sit back chair. No,
and my fridge is broken, and I turn it on.
Okay, I love musicals, but I think there is a reason why they are so successful in a live theater. There's something to seeing that actually done live. So obviously everything was tracked and recorded, and then they were lip syncing to it. It was them performing it, but they were lip syncing to it. And so I think that it's just hard. It is hard to transfer a musical to to a movie, and I think it's especially hard to transfer a musical that's about day-to-day life out in the real world inside of a theater is interesting because you don't see that. But normally inside of a theater, you're taken to a magical new place that you don't experience, like Wicked or like whatever. So the movie version of that can elevate that. And so like,
but we were like literally in a bodega or like on a street in Washington Heights.
And so then when you're like, well, why are you singing about it? I don't know. I'm not trying to like, I enjoyed
it. Shit on it.
No, you want to shit on it because I said this and you said I have a lot of opinions. I want to talk about this on the show.
Well, no, I guess my only opinion was that I had a similar opinion. I wrote down that it reminded me of, you remember that movie Cars, where it took place all in like a dusty little town?
Cars?
The Pixar movie.
No, I never seen it.
Oh, well, it was the same thing where I was like, I don't really care about a bunch of cars in this town. Like, the most exciting part was when she went downtown and I was like, oh, there's going to be a huge breakdown of like what downtown is like compared to up in the Heights. And she's going to like do all this stuff. And then she just like walked into a room and they're like, no. And she like she got sad and left.
Well, so that's
like more of like, I wanted to feel more of like New York. Like the Washington Heights of it all was fabulous, but it was all one street and like one bodega.
It's almost like it was really dope in the time that they made it and it was totally a hit, but then he made Hamilton and you're like, oh, Hamilton is so good, because we're like Hamilton is not only like so good, but it's also like a story you're like, oh shit. And like, this is a story, like the story of community, the story of gentrification, the story of all that stuff is like really incredible. Not incredible of how it's going, but incredible to like look at and think about and see the experiences of. But I feel like I would have preferred it not as a musical. Like, I would have loved to watch that as a film, like as an ode to the neighborhood, as an ode to the community, as an ode to Washington Heights. And like, there could be like one or two big musical numbers, like at the party, like a big dance thing.
The big grandma's number. Grandma's number was fire. It was
the best one.
Good. Yes, but it was because it took us somewhere else. It was finally we were on a subway watching
production design too.
And then at the end of it, I turn to my dad and go, "Is this old bitch about to die?" And then
"You're so awful."
She walks up the stairs. Well, because it looked like she had a choice. It was like it was white in front of her and then red behind her. And I was like,
"And she made the choice."
And she made the choice to go to the white. But I was like, "Does that mean she chose heaven over hell? Like, was it either way she was dying?"
Listen, we're going to talk more about this when we come back from break, because I have a bunch of very specific questions I would like to hear about from you.
Okay.
In the Heights.
Okay. In the Heights. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long.
When my fridge is stocked with Factor meals, I'm like, oh baby, I don't have to think about this. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so nice. The combinations are so good. I am a meat eater, but the vegetable options, there are so many. Like, I remember I had it was a mushroom with pasta and like a cauliflower rice. And I was like, the mushroom is filling. Like, there's plenty of portion, there's plenty of vegetable, and there's plenty of flavor. And I am usually sort of not a microwave person.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool that this quality of food can just be heated up in the microwave.
And so fast. I also love it because I am a very much into ordering delivery.
I know.
Now having all the food there, I can kind of pick what I want and it's ready in 2 minutes. I don't have to wait an hour for stuff to get delivered. And these are way healthier options than ordering delivery.
Completely. And when they have multiple things in them, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, if I cook for myself, all I'm going to eat is the biggest bowl of pasta you've ever seen in your life. But this is you get a little pasta and the chicken and a vegetable all in one dish.
Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you gotta do is heat up and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause to reschedule deliveries that suit your lifestyle.
And we're celebrating Earth Day all month long with Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu items for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 and use code sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box.
That's code SLOPPYSECONDS50 at factormeals.com/SLOPPYSECONDS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
That's a sleigh, baby.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime. Yeah, and under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
Okay, we are back, and here's what I wanted to know.
Well, here's what I want to ask you. What was the storyline about the girl who went to college and then came back, and then her dad was like forcing her to go, and then she went back.
Well, she went and she said it was really fucking racist. Horrible and traumatizing because it was racist.
So why wouldn't they just like be like, all right, why don't you go to NYU? Like, she's clearly smart enough to get into like a really good school. Ooh. Oh, no, no, you're sick. Oh, no, he's making the funniest face.
I just had to sneeze. Woo. No, I think it was twofold. It was one, the place was had no community for her. She had a couple of traumatizing racist experiences there, and she was so used to the community that she had from all of the people on the block. But then two, she knew the financial hardship it was causing on her father, and so she chose to drop out so that he wouldn't have to pay. And basically he said to her, like, muscle through because it means a better future for everyone. And that's why she ended up going back. I think is a huge, huge narrative for, you know, anyone who is like first generation going to college or first generation.
I mean, I guess it made sense for her to go back, but why wouldn't you also just be like, okay,
let me go to NYU or something.
Let me go to another school that would also offer me huge opportunities. I guess Stanford is like Ivy League, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So, I want to know about dancing in the pool. Why were they in the pool?
I loved it.
You did? Also, that was my least favorite number.
No, I liked it because it took me to a new location. But my only question, I was like, where in Washington Heights is that pool? I've been up to Washington Heights a lot. And I have never seen a public pool that large. It was like Olympic sized with like huge bleachers.
Also, I felt weird that
one of the hairdresser
Vanessa
ladies
was like in just her bikini. Like, it felt, I was like, that's a lot of skin she's showing.
Maybe she wanted to. Maybe she said, I got to get this body out to the people in this huge movie musical before I start to lose it. Why was one of the hairdresser ladies so much older than the other two?
Well, she's iconic. That's Miss Thing from Rent.
Cheetah Rivera. No.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
that
no.
Is
what is her name from
Cheetah
Rent?
Cheetah Rivera.
What was her name? Hold on. Give me a first letter and I'll know it. Something. Maya Daphne Ruben Vega.
You're very close.
Vega Ruben. Oh my God, these cold medicines going straight to my head.
These cold medicines. Okay, but so Daniela and Carla were two of the hairdressers. They're a couple.
In real life?
No, they were gay in the movie, right?
Oh, I didn't get that at all.
Remember when they're playing bingo at Abuela's house and they're dancing and those two are dancing together?
I just thought they were really close friends.
No, girl. They were gay.
They were dykey.
You didn't notice that?
Well, they didn't really. You can't just. Here's the thing. You can't just have two characters dance together and then be like, they're gay. Like, there needs to be more showing of their relationship.
There was. They didn't, like, kiss on the mouth, but.
Well, kiss on the mouth.
No, I'm convinced that Daniela and Carla are a couple, but, you know, let me. Come for me in the comments with my raw food.
I love seeing her. Oh, what's her name? Because she was from
Who are you? What's her name?
One of them was from
Carla. The
Orange is the New Black.
Well, Carla was played by Stephanie Beatrice, who's from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, and then I'm forgetting her character's name, but yeah, she was an actress from Orange is the New Black.
It was just interesting to see like the cast of characters, and we didn't even talk about it. All about Valentina.
Yeah, Dasha Polanco played Kuka. Nah. Dasha's from Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
Yeah, Daphne Ruben Vega. Daphne Ruben Vega. Correct.
Lin-Manuel Miranda played an ice cream man. Could have done
not
without
an ice cream,
it.
Shaved ice.
Shaved ice. Could have done without it.
Right, but you understand that his entire character is like the old vanguard.
Yes, this town is being the neighborhood is being gentrified. That's why he got in a fight with the ice cream man. Like, I understand it. I'm
but
just
you could
thinking
have
of ways
done
to maybe
it.
shorten this movie up. 2.5 hours long movie. Guess what? I wouldn't go see this again. I would go see Cats again.
Cats the movie?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's talk about Valentina, though. Valentina appears in
a cloud of smoke. She's painted green. She starts trying to riff, and they're like, no, wrong movie, sis. No, she appears in the
She's in the beauty shop. She gets, like, her little moment. She has, like, a line, and then they, like, react to her. And she's,
and
like,
everyone laughs at her.
Full glam. And in the background, she, like, she's, like, in a whole musical number, which is sickening. Mm-hmm. Good for her. Amazing.
They steal her sunglasses, and she has a little bit of trouble grabbing them back because of her nails. But they left it in, and I'm proud of that. Did you see that? Did you notice that?
I noticed a thing or two, yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going to love this movie.
I think a lot of people do love this movie.
Now, I want to know about... what about I thought that the first act was way more intriguing than the second act. And you know what I'm talking about, because he goes, let's take a break.
Yeah.
And then there's intermission. But how about in the second act when Benny and Nina sing on the side of the building?
Oh, now that was actually really fun.
I hated it.
You didn't like them dancing across the side of the building?
Why would they dance across the side of the building? That wasn't actually happening.
No, but I think it was a... Wait, so you think that in all these scenes where people, large groups of people are dancing in unison in a swimming pool, it was actually happening?
No, but they, like, didn't do anything magical at all.
Yes, they did. How about when they were talking at the very beginning of that pool number when it was, like, $96,000 or whatever, and they start doing all the weird...
And they had the rotoscoping animations.
Yeah.
Sure, but those 2 points...
That was weird and
points,
didn't really fit in.
That's
but
it?
I think dancing across the building is the feeling that you get in New York, baby, when you're in love.
You're being awful.
How am I being awful?
I didn't like that part.
And to me, it was visually interesting, and I did enjoy it. I didn't really like any of the music.
You didn't?
Nah, not for me.
It wasn't for you. What about Vanessa's fashion design inspiration?
I liked it.
You did? In the blackout, she goes home and designs a dress or a pair of shorts?
No, it was a full outfit. It was a top and bottom. She designed, like, multiple outfits. She said she needed her fingers to move.
That's at the end. I'm talking about the blackout. You really didn't watch this movie close, did you, huh?
It was not for me.
Well, you know who this film is for? First of all, I thought it was hilarious that she was like, this ribbon, I'm going to design again. My fingers are moving again. Like, that to me was hokey pokey Holly Lobby. But I will say, who loves this opening number is Jane Krakowski.
Yes, she does. I'll post it on the Instagram, but she did a number where she was Usnavi.
Apparently, it must have been for some sort of theater gala fundraising.
It looked like it was the Kennedy Honors type situation.
Well, it says MCC, Manhattan Theater Club, or MTC. It's watermarked. Yeah. And what is she doing? She's wearing the
hat. She's up there wearing the hat from the original musical, which was an Adidas cap. I don't think that they got the rights for the movie, because in the movie it's just a regular Kingle cap. But she's doing the whole opening number talking about how she immigrated over and how everyone comes to her little bodega coffee shop. She's really serving.
Why did they do that?
I don't know. Do you think she dated the MyPillow guy?
I never paid attention to that.
Neither did I. Just like I'm not paying attention to this Trisha Paytas drama.
Do you think that, why would they do that? Why would they be like, Jane? Yeah, maybe they were doing Turnabout Night and they had different people doing the like iconic numbers from all these different musicals. So like Mandy
Patinkin.
That would
make sense. Also, maybe they were like, Jane, is there anything that you want to do? And she just saw In the Heights. Because I will say, like, I remember when I first moved to New York.
Oh, it was it. It was the
it
moment.
It was the Wicked. It was the play that everyone was talking about. They're like, oh, if you're going to see a musical, you have to see In the Heights. There's right. nothing like it. It changed the game. So maybe it was just she was still feeling that and she really wanted to do it. And she felt like, I have the skill to do this rap. It felt very much like her character from 30 Rock. Like, Jenna it seemed Marant. Like a skit. It seemed like it was a joke. But then as the clip continues, you're like, oh, this isn't a joke. It's actually happening.
And she's like full of a cast of people doing the choreography, like singing the whole thing. You're like, yeah. Okay, girl.
She's having a good time.
Yes. Okay, well, my last question about the film is
Jimmy Smits, baby, Law and Order.
Oh yeah,
he was God. Working it. You would blow
oh,
him,
he
right?
He did do Law and Order because he's done a lot of cop shows because he was also on NYPD Blue.
Yeah, he's done a lot of cop shows. Bootleg.
I mean, I gotta tell you, I had a great time, and I know a lot of our listeners probably had a great time. So I'm mad that you came over here and dragged it.
I didn't drag it. Just because it's not for me doesn't mean that it's not for everybody. I mean, it's like got a 99 on Rotten Tomatoes. I just don't think it was like my zhuzh.
Yeah, I can understand that.
But I loved, like, there are parts of it that I really enjoyed and, like, could watch those scenes again.
What's the other movie musical
like,
that's
coming out? I can
watch
that Grandma Die over and over and over.
West Side Story is coming out. That's another movie musical.
Ooh, that's going to be good.
Fingers crossed. Oh,
it's hard to convey the magic of... Because seeing a... I'm sure also it would have been better if I was in a movie theater.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
I was like watching it on a TV.
And here's what I really actually... this is my thesis statement. It felt like it was a PG film. And I wanted the R version of it. Does that make
sense? Yeah, like when they were dancing, I was like, they're all too far away from each other. Really grind on each other.
And I guess it made
also,
sense
I didn't
that
think Usnavi was that hot. I feel like he
should
have been
hotter. Well, you've never liked him. You don't really see it for. Have you seen She's Gotta Have It?
No, what's that?
That's the Netflix adaptation of Spike Lee's film that they turned into a show. And Anthony Ramos is in that. And he is very sexy and charming in that.
Oh, maybe I need to watch that.
No, but to me, it really did feel like a family film. And I wanted it to be like a little more. I wanted it to have like a little more oomph. You know what I mean?
I think I don't find him attractive because when he first, all I know is him with long hair, and then seeing him with short hair, I was like, it's not working for me.
But he's talented, girl. A lot of the choreography was fast paced.
Yeah, the choreo was great, just not for me.
How did you feel at the end when that final shot with the little girl and she was wearing the hat and she turned and looked at the camera?
She turned
like,
to the camera and gave it that said, look like, don't worry, we're doing In the Heights Part 2. That's what I saw. And then if you stayed for the after credits, did you stay for the after credits?
I watched. What happened?
Well, Lin-Manuel Miranda, he picked up an Infinity Stone. And he said, I will never stop making rap musicals. And then
well,
he snapped his fingers.
The other thing is that Jonathan Larson musical, Tick, Tick, Boom, which is sort of about him trying to break through. It's like autobiographical that he wrote before he wrote Rent. They turned that into a movie with Vanessa Hudgens and Andrew Garfield. And the trailer came out. And guess who directed that, Diva?
Lin-Manuel.
Yes, but Lin-Manuel didn't direct this film.
No, he didn't. And I feel like maybe if he got his little paws on it a little bit more, it could have translated better over to film.
I just wanted it to be more adult, and it wasn't. And that's all. And that's all I'll say on that. Let's talk about Trisha Paytas for a second.
I don't know what's happening. I can't get invested.
If you have no idea what we're talking about, I can sum it up in three sentences before we begin.
Well, she got mad about the money.
You literally never, you undercut me every time we talk.
Go for it. Tell me, please.
Well, because if you say she got mad about the money, that doesn't mean anything. Because people who listen to our show have heard us talk about Trisha, but like have no idea who she is. Trisha is a famous internet person with YouTube presence who has started a podcast called Frenemies, and they've done roughly 40 episodes. And her co-host is, in fact, her fiance's brother and also a true frenemy. They have great moments of friendship and great moments of friction. And on the most recent episode, there was what felt like a big moment of friction, and it seems like the podcast is over.
Yes. So, and then post that big moment of friction, she started
getting mad. You got to talk into your mic.
Okay, post that big moment of friction. That's just my voice just went out.
No, girl, you have that shit
over. Okay, post that big moment of friction, she went on her YouTube and posted like a 45-minute video talking a lot about how they were making money off of the highlights, and they would keep all the money from the little highlights, which is little clips of the show that they posted on YouTube, because most people don't watch the full two-hour thing. So she realized, even though they were doing a two-hour show, she was only getting like 15% of the two-hour show and no money off of the clips. So then she got mad about that and was like, well, the crew sucks, da-da-da-da. And I guess he was like, well, all of the money, like, we'll pay you more or whatever, but right now we have, like, all of the money is in merch, and we buy all of our merch up front. And then she left. I don't know what it is.
And what it felt like to me is that she did not pay attention to the details of the contract. And the details of the contract are like, we split the money from the show 50-50, except for 5% of the money before we split it goes to paying for production costs. And the production costs include the staff, but the staff work on more than just one show. So 5% of her money goes into paying the staff, and the staff don't only work on her show, they work on all the other shows on that network. Totally makes sense to me. That's the production cost. The hiccup is, as a network, because H3, I guess, is a network, if you're producing the show, it's up to you to market the show. And if part of marketing the show is putting clips of the show online, you're marketing the show. It's smart of them, because they have a big YouTube following, to monetize those clips. It's a bad deal for Trisha, because her show is so popular, they're making great money off the clips. So what if I was her in that position, I would have gone to the table and said, I would like to renegotiate and show you that my value is also adding a huge amount of income, and I would like a cut of the income from the clips, from the highlights of Frenemies. And they probably would have absolutely renegotiated. But flip side...
But she's Trisha.
No. Flip side is that dude, Ethan, when Trisha very calmly said, you're gaslighting me. I'm telling you I'm not upset. You're saying I'm upset. She laid out everything he was doing. And then his response was, okay, fine. You're right. We fuck up. And then she was like, I can't believe you just did that. Do you know what you just said? He's like, what are you talking about? He gaslit her that whole thing. Yeah. And then she was so smart. He goes, I'll cut the cameras when you leave. Whenever you're ready to leave, I'll cut the cameras. She goes, and then you're going to show that clip of me storming off, and you're going to make money on it. So end the show together so I can leave. I was so impressed with her.
She asked him to end it two times. And he wouldn't, because he knew what he was doing. Listen, everybody I know that has been like a fan of Ethan Klein for a while now, because he's been on YouTube for a long time and he's been through his fair share of drama and
shit. I feel like he's very boring.
Yeah. He knew that she was going to bring that to the show, which is why he started giving her the show. Like, he knew what he was going to get from her, which was a huge new following, which was her following. And he knew that he was trying, and he knew he was gaslighting her. Like, he used her the whole time. So I'm glad that she's kind of out of it now. At first, I thought he was like actually trying to help her, but it's like, you can tell he just is using her.
She may be like messy and chaotic. Like, and
she just needs a team that can work with that part of her. That can be like, all right, well, we're just not doing this today.
Right.
We'll reschedule with her. Because she's smart enough to do the work.
But I'll tell you, even for all that like chaos that she brings, like everything she said in those final 3 minutes before she left, I was like, she's hitting the nail on the head. She's like, I go to enough therapy to know that you're gaslighting me. I'm telling you how I'm feeling, and you are not listening to me. And if you have me walk off the set, you're going to manipulate that into something that it isn't. And I was so impressed. I was like, oh, bitch, she's doing some work around that. That's so cool.
Damn.
Very impressed. Anyways, let's take a break. We'll be right back with some voice.
Hey, oh, also, she what? Just released a new skincare and I bought it. Okay.
You did?
Yes.
Did you see the Kim Kardashian thing about her new, like,
her little thingy?
She's advertising her, like, shapewear, like, body.
It's new, and then shapewear.
She runs her finger along her hip and the finger completely bends, like a 90 degree bend, completely out of whack because they photoshopped her hips into being curvier than they are.
That's so, but you know, it's the business.
But she's, girl, how did they not catch fill. That, honey?
Maybe she pissed someone off.
All right, we'll be right back. Okay, we are back and we have some voicemails to listen to.
Hi, I was just calling as the owner of a foreskin to tell you all a little bit about that gunk that you all were talking about.
Oh.
It can be avoidable if you roll the skin back while urinating, and you could go probably a day or two without showering and anything forming. So if you have a foreskin and you don't pull it back when you're pissing, you're going to get that nasty shit. But some people like it, so good for you in that case. I don't know. Maybe I can have the doctor talk about it when he comes to talk about those anal secretions. Bye.
Okay. See, that's what I was talking about. I needed to know how long it took to get like that. Because I dated a guy with a foreskin and he wouldn't shower for like a day or two and it was never there. But some people were always like, yeah, it's cheesy after a day. So this is good to know. I understand.
Let me ask you, when you pee, do you wipe the head of your dick?
No, I just shake it off.
Yeah, me too. But I think a lot of guys with foreskin might pat dry.
Oh, well, I know that my ex, he would pull his foreskin back and like use a strip of toilet paper and dab the head to clean it. So,
yeah.
Yes, he was cleaner about it than everybody else.
I have to find this because it is so worth sharing with you in this exact moment.
Let me just tell you, I don't know how people live in Texas. I'm going to vamp while you do this. This is my 5 minutes.
Little vamping.
It's so hot. I hopped off the plane at IHO or whatever it is, and I stepped outside and I was like, it's sweaty out here. It's gross. I can't imagine living here again. No offense if you live here and you're used to it. I forgot how fucking sticky the air is. You can like feel it. You can feel it on your skin.
Okay, look at this video. Describe what's happening.
I'm seeing a man walk into a bathroom, and he's unzipping his pants. Whoa, he pulls out just the longest penis I've seen. He's holding it like a full fist, and it's still like 2 inches hanging out.
It looks from the dick from just peeing. Boogie Nights.
Yeah, it looks fake, but maybe it's not. Now he's peeing. Now he's got two hands on it. Wait, why was the camera already in the bathroom? And he's finished. He's doing little squirts. He's going, psst, 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 psst. And now he's just massaging it and shaking it. Oh, my God. He wiped it on the inside of his belt line, of like the waistband of the pants. He wiped the tip on the waistline of the pants. He just peed on the inside of his pants. And now he's walking out of the bathroom. What?
So, first of all, the meat is so big he's not even wearing underwear. Secondly, he finishes peeing and he's like shaking as much as he can.
He shook it a little bit.
And then he holds onto the tip and he just like peels back like his pants that are undone and he just quickly like wipes it. Thoughts?
That's gross, because then your piss is just on your belt line the whole time. Like, it's just going to be sitting on your waist. You just peed and then wiped pee onto your waist.
Yeah, girl. I don't know. But that's how he keeps his dick from getting a little cheesy.
But it wasn't foreskinned.
Non-foreskinned dicks can be cheesy. Should we listen to another voicemail?
Yes, please.
Bibbidi bobbidi boo. Oh, this one is an update.
This is an update from our caller from last week who we talked, well, we didn't talk to, but he spoke about how he had sex in the abandoned house and then the police came and then the dog went into the woods to find the guy, but he came out and he was completely naked. And we asked, did he get in any trouble or was it whatever? So we wanted to know what actually ended up happening. And this is the response.
Hi, Big Dip. Hi, Meatball. First off, I'm so honored that you guys did my sloppy story. I lost my shit on my way to work this morning listening to it. So to answer a couple of your questions. Oh, and I'm the guy that fucked the guy at the construction site. Yeah, that guy. I did indeed get in trouble for trespassing. Criminal trespassing is a Class C misdemeanor.
Ooh.
So I got unsupervised probation, which is awesome because I smoke weed and I was not stopping. Really, all I had to do was pay like $480 and then it was done. And then 5 years later, it just went off my record. But it's not, it doesn't stop you from doing anything, you know, unless you want to work at the Pentagon. As far as the other guy, the cops definitely went through his clothes before he got to put them on. He had a big bag of weed in one pocket and like a knife in the other, which was great. Awesome. The guy had a knife, but, he got in a lot of trouble. So after they had me sit in the back of the cop car for a while, they eventually just wrote me my citation and literally just let me walk away. Like after having sat there for probably 2 hours while they sorted the whole thing out, they just let me walk away with the citation. And then I had to go to court where I pleaded guilty. And it wasn't even like court. It was like traffic court, but for just misdemeanor bullshit.
Whoa.
But yeah, I thoroughly agree with Meatball. Should not be doing that shit. That's why Meatball fucks in a car. Go Meatball. Lesson learned. I'm now 34 and I don't do that shit anymore. Either you need to host or I can host or buy a hotel room because that's about it.
Yes,
but there's also
buy a
the
hotel
whole like
room.
Positions in car thing does suck too. Sorry, Meatball.
Well,
it's not my fault you're not flexible. Listen, do you have anything on your record? Have you ever done anything?
No.
I had something wiped from my record forever ago. When
some
I was
duty?
Yeah, I put a little duty on my record, and I was like, get that off there. No,
get that duty off there.
I think I've told it on the podcast, but I like assaulted an officer, and then I had to just do community service, and then
yeah.
They took it off. But that officer had it coming. You don't reach for my drink, okay? Period.
You walked up to a police officer who was like eating a hot dog on his lunch break and just smacked it out of his hands.
No, remember I was like standing in front of a bar and he tried to take my drink out of my hand because I didn't realize that you can't drink on the street in New York.
Uh-huh.
And then I slapped his hand away and then I got arrested.
It's hard out there when you're just blackout and doing whatever you want to on the streets.
It was my first drink, which is why I was so angry. Okay.
Here's our last voicemail for today.
Hi, Dipper. Hi, Meatball. Ooh. This is Jay from Chicago.
You better
first
come
off,
in
love
hot.
The podcast. I'm a new listener, and it inspired me to go back and watch some of Meatball's old performances on YouTube, and her screen number reminded me of a fun fuck story I think you guys will enjoy. So a couple of years back, I went to a tweaker sex party. No worries. I stopped using a while back ago and had already been there for a couple of hours and wanted to take a break. And I remember the music was kind of bad, like top 40s Taylor Swift shit. So I asked if I could play something different, and the host said yes. So I started off with like some old house. I think it started with like Destroy, She Said, by Sir, As the Rush Comes, by Motorcycle. And the older guys were like, good choice. People who didn't know this stuff liked it, told me to pick the next ones. So I made like a mini playlist, and every time a new song came on, more and more guys would tell me how they liked what I picked. And I remember I put on Abram the Hat, Sweep a Psycho. Like, this was when it first came out, and everyone was standing. So I'm a little bit out of breath, sorry. So then Damaged by Danity Kane comes on. And I kid you not, the entire party stopped fucking, and we just started talking about how it was a bop and how iconic Danity Kane used to be. even the host's like roommate who I didn't know was in his room came out and joined the conversation. So imagine like a group of like 7-8 guys completely naked, one clothed one passed out on G in the corner, just sitting there tweaked out watching Danny Kane music videos for like, not kidding, half an hour. So yeah, that's the story of how I accidentally became the DJ at a sex party. Thanks. Wow.
You got a first aid kit handy.
Are you patient, understanding? I'm gonna need a man to take a hold of my heart. I gotta break it apart. I should know that song since I used to do that number all the time. Someone just messaged me asking me if they could do that number, if I could send them that mix. And I was like,
why do people do that?
It's also like, just make your own mix. Like, it wouldn't even make that much. It wouldn't be that much of a leap for me to be like, oh, my heart is damaged. She was stabbed in the heart. Like, if you were to find that mix or like figure it out. But like,
yeah, or like, do Scream by Janet Jackson and Michael Jackson.
Yeah, like, oh,
don't they have a song about Scream?
Maybe it's time for an update.
You know, maybe it's time for a better choice.
Well, no, that wasn't the whole song. I mean, no, I'm not going to take you through my mix.
we can all go watch it on YouTube. I'm very aware.
Mm-hmm. There's numerous
mixes and choices.
Now, yeah, because I kept changing it. Every time I did it, I would be like, I'm going to make this part longer. I'm going to make this part shorter. But that's the fun of doing a mix.
Music at a sex party is a really interesting topic because it often needs to be like good enough to set the mood. But when Danity came on, even though the 7 or 8 people there were like, oh, wow, great choice, let's talk about it, you did kill the party for a moment if everyone started watching Danity Kane music videos for 30 minutes. So,
but maybe it was an upswing of a party because it like let everyone rest,
correct,
get back down to zero, and then they fucked longer.
But it is an interesting vibe, right? Because you're like, you don't want to do something that is too distracting, and this might be very controversial, but for the sex parties that I attend,
is it just oomst?
Well, no, it is, but also there's like a little bit of that, the play, the like leaning into. This is so problematic. I'm just being honest. I don't want to like look over and see you doing the choreography from the Danity Kane music video.
Oh, wow.
Or like singing
the
lyrics.
So you don't think that bottoms can party?
I think anyone could love that song. Like, I love that song, but like when I'm like doing that performance or like laughing about that song with my friends, I'm not thinking to myself, this is, and maybe it's because I sort of compartmentalize my sexual behavior so different from my like hanging out with friends and like whatever. I guess the most sort of like elevated, what do they call it in Pokemon? The final form of like a truly queer, you know, sex positive environment and sex party would be someone able to like bop around to Ariana Grande and then also like call someone a dick pig and be like living a daddy fantasy while they're like getting, you know, spit roasted or something. That it embraces all sides of that in the exact same moment. I feel like I didn't articulate my point there, but do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I completely understand what you're trying to say. And you're right. Like, if Ariana Grande, like, came on during a sex party, it would take me out of the moment because I'd be like,
right, this ring, now, I bought it. Right. If everyone started saying, right now, I'm
like,
in a state of mind.
Well, and then I would lose my boner because then I would think of Frankie.
All right. Well, listen, everyone, we can continue having these deep discussions about queer theory, internalized hatred for our own fabulous and flamboyant selves, and sex
parties.
What
if you were at a sex party and one of your songs came on?
Oh, I would shudder and die.
Has it ever happened? Oh, my God. I got to find out what sex parties you go to and just sneak in and start changing the music. Anyway, right. This has been Sloppy Seconds. This is a Tuesday episode. We had a wonderful time. If you'd like to email us, you can email us at sloppysecondspod@gmail.com. You can call in with your own fuck talk story or just for advice to 213-536-9180.
Yeah, advice. I would like to answer some advice questions next week. I want you to come in with a specific query and quandary and ask us for our advice, because it'll
and
probably
the calls
be kind
are getting
of
a little long again. Don't make me mad.
One of them was 30 seconds. But the kind of advice, you know, more than likely the advice we will give you, you will want to do the opposite. So at least we'll give you some guidance of something to steer clear of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what makes us fun. And you can find us on Instagram at Big Dipper Jelly and Spiciest Meatball, or me on Twitter at Fat Drag Meatball. And don't forget to subscribe and like so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out every Friday and Tuesday, or Tuesday and Friday. You're right. I do just take the words and shake them up. All right.
And happy bye. Pride from Hewlett Packard and
from me at Hip Dot. Don't forget to purchase the Hip Dot Diamond Diva Palette for $44 for the whole bundle, or $22 for just the palette. Can y'all buy it so I can go on vacation? Goodbye. Doodle doo doo forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.